Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess, the podcast all about robbery, fraud, and those who practice it. Sometimes we love them. Sometimes we hate them. Yes! Parasocial girlies, walk with me here today. You know I'm very what? Excited. Yes, I know you said it, and I know your babies said it, too. Keep y'all's babies ingratiated. I want more baby theme song videos, because those give me joy. Those are my children now, okay? So today, we have an amazing comedian, actor, writer, and producer on the show. You've heard and seen him on The Prank Panel, The Righteous Gemstones, Sing 2, Archer, Bad Trip, and much, much, much more. Check out his new podcast, y'all, Bombing with Eric Andre, where every week a special guest talks about their worst moments on stage, in public, or just bombing in life. Listen on the iHeartRadio app or everywhere you get your podcast. Plus, he's on tour doing stand-up in a city near you. Go to ericandretour.com. That's ericandretour.com. Congregation, please welcome Eric Andre to the show. Hi, Eric.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Ice cream so good.
Ice cream so good. Mm. I would be so good at that.
Yes, yes, yes. You can do it.
I just
You
know
on TikTok? Are you on TikTok?
People are going to be like, Lacey, I know the strike is happening, but did it get this bad? Then I'm like, scam, I mean, so good. Rob.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Rob me so good. My wallet. Take my wallet. Oh, man. I could eat it up. Woo. It was crazy because she's doing
Nobody's
live appearances
you.
Now. So they're seeing that the lighting in her house ain't matching with her skin tone. I think they thought she was light skinned. Is she brown skinned? They're like, wait a minute. She's a black?
Wait, her fans are racist.
Duh.
They didn't do the research.
If you are giving money to a non-player character on TikTok, you are definitely probably likely to be racist.
Really?
And they were like, wait,
that's
a minute.
That's a bold statement.
She's not white. Like the white, that moment in White Chicks where he's like, you get away from me, you jackabo. It's very much giving that. We were talking before, and I do just have to say, we're on strike, so I'm not going to mention the name of the show, but I did love you in the HBO show.
I think you can name it, because I'm not promoting it. I don't really know the rules.
Can I think? I think the rules are, I can say The Righteous Gemstones.
Don't look to me for the
rules. It's also done. It's also done. I don't think they're doing any more seasons.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes. Yes, yes, yes. This ice cream's so good. But you were so fucking funny in that. Like,
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
A legend. I was a little scared, Eric, when I was told that we booked you because I was like, he is so well known for just trolling so fucking hard.
I don't troll. I would say trolling has a negative connotation.
It
to
does.
It, huh?
I don't mean it in a negative
I
way.
What
would be a better way? You know what? It's that you have an innate talent at catching people off guard and creating authentic experiences in spaces where people pretty much think that everything's going to be controlled. But it's amazing. It's like
that's
a
nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Thank you.
It's like I was in awe of it. I don't like the word trolling. You're right. Trolling is negative. That's not what I meant. I literally was in awe of it because you can like get to people's heart like immediately. Listen, you're a scam god. I'm getting scam god energy from you. I'm a scam god, as you, you very well might be a scam god.
I'm a humble guest in your house and I appreciate everything you've done.
Well,
with your music.
With my music.
One time I met Richard Simmons on a red carpet and I was like, dude, I'm a big fan. I used to watch your exercise videos growing up. And he grabbed my hands and he looked into my eyes and he goes, you have no idea how many people you have touched with your music.
What? Who I was like, my music?
I was like, I think he thinks I'm Macy Gray.
That intro to As Told by Ginger changed the lives of my children. Eric's like, I'm just a light skinned like, man with an afro. Malcolm X, when you
when people are like, what do I know you from? What's your name? What's your name again? I just say Jussie Smollett.
No. Oh my God.
Free my man Jussie.
Free Jussie. He was just doing a little goof, guys. It was a little fun goof.
He was just having fun.
Shouldn't black people be allowed to have fun? Okay?
Scams! Do you have an unemployed roommate at home? You know who I'm talking about. Children. Yes, Whitney said they are our future, and don't you want to invest in theirs? I know you want to set your children up for success. Maybe you want to save a little coin on private tutoring because we know that inflation is high and these wages are not getting higher, okay? Which is why I love IXL Learning. IXL Learning, it's an online program for kids covering math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed to help them really understand and master topics in a fun way. No more grading those worksheets. IXL grades everything itself. No more trying to scam your kids as you try to figure out their math equations and their homework. And you know you haven't seen a trapezoid in about 20 years, right? So let IXL help you out. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Scam Goddess listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/goddess. Visit IXL.com/goddess to get the most effective learning program out there for the best price.
Finding the perfect t-shirt has always had me like Goldilocks. Trying on shirts. This one's too hard. This one's too soft. And it fell apart because y'all know I got it from a cheap website. And this t-shirt from Skims is just right. From fit to quality, it is one of my, like, these are my favorite t-shirts. I have 3 different ones. Y'all know I love me an Onyx because I'm going to be wearing black all the time. They have a cotton long sleeve jersey tee that I really like too because the material is so soft. But when I put it in the washer, she don't have a whole transformation or makeover. It's not move that bust when I take it out. She looks the way that she looked when I put her in. And we know we cannot say that for all t-shirts, okay? So you can have staple t-shirts that you can mix and match and wear up or down. Maybe we're going to a fancy night out. Maybe we're going on a date. Maybe we're lounging around the house. I love these shirts so much because I can do so many different things with them. It's like, I'm telling y'all, Skims, they doing right over there. I got on the underwear right now. I can't give it up. I think they got me, y'all. I'm not even playing. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select Scam Goddess in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
But we always ask on this podcast, Eric, what is your relationship to scams? Like, do you love them? Do you hate them? Have you ever been involved in one that's passed the statute of limitations? Or, like, it could be anything. Or you've been scammed.
I love Nigerian email scams. My friend Dan Curry used to email the Nigerian email scammers back and like do long correspondence where he'd be like, dude, I need to get this money off my hands right away. What's your guys' address? Just to get them all riled up. But no, I was a telemarketer when I was 15 years old in Pompano Beach, Florida.
Ooh, okay. So yes, very much involved in scams. So at the telemarketer firm that you worked for as a legal employee, What were you guys selling at dinner time?
There's actually a documentary about it. The Safdie brothers just put out.
Yeah, Sam is coming on the podcast next week.
I worked on that at that company.
You fucking they were like worked nationwide. There too.
Yeah, when I was 15
Eric,
years
holy
old.
Shit.
I'm old.
No, this is crazy because we're interviewing Sam.
Crazy. So,
okay.
So I didn't work at the place in the place in the documentary is in New Jersey, but
yeah,
I worked at like some satellite office, same company.
Yeah, because they started expanding like McDonald's. They started doing franchises. They were like, money is up.
Oh, yeah. No, they were like a $1 billion industry. But I didn't know. Like, I saw, this is how old I am.
So you're 15.
I was looking for a job. When I was 15, I was looking for a job in the classified section of the newspaper.
Okay. And it was why were you looking for a job at 15? I love employed children. Like I just want to know why.
Like a summer job to make some extra money, you know?
Okay.
And
Eric's a hottie. He was like, I got to get these bad bitches there. they're in the breadsticks.
I was a virgin. I was a fucking virgin. I was eating free breadsticks at Olive Garden. There was this ad in the paper. It was like, you can make $15 an hour. And I was like, $15 an hour? I'm going to be rich. And then I just would go to this telemarketing place, and it was as crazy as it is in the documentary.
So what was the hiring process like for you as a 15-year-old? Was it your first job?
No, my first job was at a record store in Boca Raton, Florida, Peaches Music and Records, or something like that, CDs.
Now, why did you leave Peaches?
Tapes. Peaches. You know Peaches?
No, I'm just saying, why did you leave it?
I got paid $5 an hour.
Okay.
And then school started again. I would just do summer jobs. And then when school started, I would quit my job and
Cute.
Go back to school.
So yeah. You left Peaches. And instead of going back to Peaches, like, hey, Peaches, I'm here again. It's me, Herb. You said, I'm going to level up to this triple the rate that you were getting telemarketing situation. So yeah, when you did onboarding, what did they ask you like when you got hired?
I don't really remember the job interview. I think I just went, my boss was like a stoner. He was like a total Florida beach bum. And I was like, hey, I want to work here. He's like, you have any experience? I was like, nah. He's like, great, you got the job, brother.
You have any experience?
And then like a day
great, you got the job. No. He was done.
And at like a day into the job, he's like, you don't smoke weed, do you? And I was like, I certainly do. And we'd like hotbox his car and get fucking ripped off the shittiest brown Florida weed.
Oh, that's
and then I'd go back to the phones. I'd be like, can you give money to the police or whatever? And people would. It's a fucking total scam.
So was it like the police, or was it like just like a script that you read for anybody?
Yeah, it was a script. It was like, we're raising money for the police. Can you donate 10, 20, or $50? And one out of like 50 people would. And this place had a whole scam. And then I was like really into the Jerky Boys, so I would do like Jerky Boys cosplay kind of shit.
What is Jerky Boys?
Oh man, they're the best. They're the best. They were prank callers in the 90s. They put out like a bunch of like platinum albums. It's like rare to have a comedy album go platinum if you're not Weird Al Yankovic. And they put out like the best prank calls ever. And prank calls is like a lost art form. They are like, they're scammers in a way. If you
they are.
Scamming.
Nobody wants to be called anymore.
Nobody picks up an unknown number. Back in the 90s, there was no caller ID. You just raw dogged a phone. It was like chat roulette. You just picked up.
That's sexy.
Especially like a business, you just had to pick up. So the Jerky Boys are the best prank callers in history. You have to listen to those. Series.
Okay, I will listen to them. Congregation, y'all listen to the Jerky Boys. I know I'm going to get dragged. They're going to be like, you don't know about that. They love to drag me when I don't know something.
No, it's fine. It's worth the drag.
I love this for you. So how long did you work at this calling center? Just a summer?
I did it a couple summers.
Oh, so you came back. You fucked with it.
Yeah, the money was good. Everybody there was crazy. Like, ex-cons. Like, before face tattoos were cool, if you had a face tattoo, it means you, like, killed somebody.
Right. Teardrops and stuff.
You know what I mean? It was, like, it was real gangsters in there. And all walks of life. It was totally a sitcom. It was like It was a beautiful mix of Floridians. And
I know exactly what
people
you
would
mean.
Be drinking. People would be drinking like Hennessy and whiskey at their at their stations. And this one guy was like a total redneck. He had like a huge mullet. He looked like Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down. And he had like a crazy tattoo on his arm. It was all scratched. It was like a scratch out tattoo. I was like, I don't remember what his name was. I was like, Dave, what was that? What's that tattoo on your hand? He goes, oh man, I used to have a swastika on my hand when I was 13, but then I crossed it out because I kept getting in trouble for it. I was like, and then he'd be like, hey, yo, if you call M&M's or Skittles, you know those question or comment 1-800 numbers on the back of the bags, call up M&M's and just say you found a Band-Aid and some hair in your M&M's, and dude, they'll send you like 3 pounds of M&M's for free. I was like, no way. He's like, hell yeah, I got a garage full of M&M's. I just call them every once in a while. I said I found a little like rat hair in my
yo, he was the plug. He was the plug. He said, look, okay, I did have some Nazisms in my past. I love that he was like, I got to do a tattoo removal, but didn't have the funds or resources. So he was like, I just got to keep scratching it.
Yeah.
Like scratch off tickets.
It was just like a zig. Yeah.
So every week. Where's my quarter? Where's my good quarter to scratch off my Nazi tat? You know I like my good quarter. Like, I love that for him. He sounds like a reformed Nazi. And listen, we can all make poor choices in our life. And if you receive new information, like, maybe you shouldn't hate and want to kill people for existing. You know, get a quarter. Start scratching it off. Sounds like a good dude to me.
Yeah, him and this other guy used to drink goat's blood. They had, like, a bottle of goat's blood. Goat's blood.
Okay.
And they would
because the
like,
milk,
drink
if you're lactose intolerant, goat cheese is still now, very good for you. But goat's blood.
Not milk.
Okay.
Blood, yeah. They were like the most insane people you've ever met. It was like the most beautiful.
Honestly, those have been the best jobs for me, too. I can't say too much because it's going to be my book, but I worked for several drug fronts that I didn't know were drug fronts until I slowly started realizing they were. But best staff ever. Didn't care if I was 7 minutes late. Didn't know what was in the register, so it was never short or full. Honestly, I could have stolen from them a lot, but I was afraid, so I did my honesty. Because I was like, you do your honesty where you know people gonna kill you. Now, if you go to a big corporation, maybe do your theft there. Because they're gonna like, what, fire you, give you a bad recommendation, take you to court. Ooh, so scary. I don't want to get my knees broke. Again, we talked about this before the podcast. I have Houston knees. I need these.
So, I would say one thing. You should talk about it if it's in your book. It'll only drive people to the book.
Yeah, well, I just did. And also, y'all, October 8th.
I didn't want you to hold back.
If you're in New York City, pull the fuck up. October 8th, 7:30, we're doing a live Scam Goddess. It's official, legit. So get your tickets before they sell out. I'm telling y'all first, and then I'm going to post on the socials. But I'll tell y'all first right now. Get them tickets. October 8th, Bill House, New York City. It's up, and it's going to be stuck. So let's move to our first segment here. What is hot in fraud? This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams and the zeitgeist. Or more often than not, we get a letter from one of you all. As always, snitch on your friends, family, and your enemies at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure you what? Make sure the scam is retired so we don't what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. Okay, get it good and done. Do it a lot and some. And then tell me about it because we don't want to run it up. Or maybe we can a little bit. So, Eric, I just need a fake name for this person. Gender's a construct. We don't give a shit. It can be any name.
You want any name?
Any name.
Pee-wee, because I was a big Pee-wee Herman fan. So.
Oh, Pee-wee. R.I.P., right? He passed.
R.I.P.
this year, right? So, yeah. Pee-wee. Pee-wee says, the other day, my wife came home with a new bag of slippers and several books for me as a just because gift. It was so sweet, and I really loved all the items. But money had been tight recently, and I was like, babe, you used your fun money for this, right? She turns to me and says, no worries, I stole most of it. Beautiful. I do want to say that Pee Wee did title this email, Biggest Scam and Best Decision, Marrying a White Woman.
Wait, I totally disassociated. What did Pee Wee do?
So Pee Wee titled this email, Biggest Scam and Best Decision.
No, but what was his scam? What was his scam? What did he do? Woman.
So now this is Pee Wee talking about their white queen. And they said, the other day, my wife came home with a new bag of slippers, several books for me, just as a because gift. It was so sweet, and I really loved all the items. But money has been tight recently, and I was like, but babe, you used your fun money for this, right? She turns and says, no worries, I stole most of it. Now, I will reveal gender here because this is a lesbian couple where one of them is black and one of them is Hawaii.
White.
And that comes into play. So backstory here is that as a black woman, Pee Wee says, I am very careful when I go shopping, especially at nice places. Hand in pockets, don't touch nothing, don't carry it in a big bag. You know, the usual. My white wife had no idea that that was my and most black folks' experience. Once she realized, she decided that her anti-racism task was to start stealing shit. I know that's right. An ally. And second of all, I do the opposite. These days, I walk into places, and I don't know about you, Eric, because I know you popping. I know the girls know you when they see you in the streets, but you're still very much visually black. You might be light and bright, but we can tell you black. We know you black. And I still, like, I have my big purse. I touch everything in a motherfucking store. I'll do whatever because I need you to know that I'm an important negress that you can't kill or harass. I took a Chanel bag with me to surgery because I was like, maybe if they see this bag, they won't try to kill me on the table. It actually kind of worked a little bit because the woman who checked me in at the hospital was like, she walked me and I thought she was walking me into the hospital and she stopped me and she was like, where did you get that boy bag? It's been off of the market for a long time. And I was like, but I was like,
wait, so you, wait, you. To back it up, you're saying you touch everything in a store to prove that you are rich? Or you touch everything in the store to prove that you are.
I touch everything in the store to prove that I deserve to touch everything in the store. Like, they'll see me and they'll be like, why does this little negress have so much audacity?
That you're worthy.
And then they'll assume that I'm Barack Obama's cousin or something.
Right. I always feel like they think I'm stealing, so I don't touch anything in the store.
Exactly. Which is why I've been doing the opposite lately. I want you to think like, wow, she's doing a lot in here, but she's so confident about it. I want you to see me touching things. I want you to see me try on a hat and then toss it casually on the top of my bag. Not inside. I didn't steal it. On the top of my bag. Like, maybe I'm going to take it later. Like, I want you to be, if you're going to be on my ass, be on my ass. So we're back to the story here. That a black woman, Pee Wee, says, I am very careful when I go shopping, especially at nice places, hand in pockets, don't touch nothing, don't carry a big bag, you know, the usual. My white wife had no idea that that was my and most black people's modus operandi. Once she realized, she decided that her anti-racism task was to start stealing shit. Love that, ally. Now, she does this with ethics. She only takes from big box stores and other major companies that account for shrinkage in their products. Which shrink is a real thing. Like, people steal and they account for it. Says, we choose to spend our hard-earned dollars on small, black, and other queer vendors wherever possible. Anyway, she started small, magnets, buttons, enamel pins, maybe some costume jewelry, but now she's purposely wearing baggy clothes and shoving all kinds of shit in her pants. We came out of Michael's the other day, and as soon as she sat down in the car, she started pulling out package after package after package after package out of her pants, while I just cackled. The best part, if she ever gets caught, she can weaponize those white woman tears and go full Karen on them. If I tried any of this, I'm adding this, my black ass, I would surely be caught and prosecuted immediately. Instead, my white wife steals gifts for me that I get to keep, and I get to keep my hands clean. More of the story, marry an anti-racist white woman. Wow.
I think her wife might have kleptomania.
Yeah, it's
there might be deeper issues going on.
You're stealing. You're going to Michael's. Michael's gay as hell. Y'all are so gay. Y'all going to the gayest place to steal from, Michael's Arts and Crafts. Go to Hobby Lobby because they're anti-gay. So go over there too. And anti-woman. So we should be stealing from the people we really need down bad as well. But you go over there.
I haven't been to a store. I haven't been to a store in like 10 years.
Okay, Oprah.
How much does a banana cost? A banana costs $145. I mean, Amazon, Etsy, eBay.
You get your bananas from Etsy. They draw faces.
No, I mean
on them.
Shopping. Shopping is irrelevant with the internet.
Truly. But so she's getting high off of stealing from the supply, right? So when people get high on their little kinks, I'm sure the sex is like explosive after. You know when you see people steal in movies and then they get in the car and they suck on a cigarette real hard, like,
oh yeah.
Like they're just so geeked up. I figure that's the kind of energy that she's giving. It's just sucking on a cigarette, just like one puff is like down to the bone of the cigarette. To the booty hole of the cigarette, just like, and then she's gonna sex you real good when you get home with all your free shit. I see no downside.
Well,
you can't feel free.
I don't think like
feel free to.
I don't think the stealing is the downside, but I think the stealing is a symptom of a larger psychological issue happening. That may be so. I wouldn't be too caught up in the symptom or the immediate gratification of.
I would
stealing.
That's all
I think
at.
That there's
and
a deeper, darker thing going
She's
on.
Like,
on
I do this for black people.
Yeah,
is that true? I don't know about that, but
yeah, I think she might be nuts. She might be nuts. Her white wife might be nuts. Pee Wee's white wife might be nuts. That's all right. Listen. You know what?
Pee Wee, I fuck with your wife. Pee Wee, y'all keep stealing.
Robbery. Back in the 90s. Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green, and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream, and I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream? Are you kidding me? It's giving rich, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess.
And now it's time for my favorite spot in the podcast, Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Eric with a famous con caper group of criminals. We'll see if he likes them. We'll see if he hates them. I don't know. I don't know personally. So note up top here, the story was primarily researched from Tim Holmes, an independent article, Ferdinand Waldo Damara, one of the greatest imposters the world has ever seen. We don't scam our journalists, so we're always going to shout them out. So y'all look into Tim Holmes because he be writing out there for the girlies. His name is Ferdinand Waldo Damara.
What am I looking at? What is this? Who is this?
This is Ferdinand.
What is the context?
Well, he was a man of many trades, a master of few. We call these people serial entrepreneurs, criminals, with the credentials of none. Oh, I love that. So he was a man of many trades, a master of few with the credentials of none. I know that's right. That's how we should all live in America. He found his beginnings as a teenage monk, but frustrated with the time and effort it took to gain skills for a legitimate life of prestige, found a career in as a professional imposter. I just think being a monk is something you do when you are old and you are tired of this ghetto-ass planet. I don't know if you need to be a teenage monk.
Listen, you don't need to be a teenage monk. You don't really even need to be any monk. But I'm going to say he looks like one of those monks that has like the bald spot that's like a circle.
Really? You know what I'm saying? He got such good hair. Maybe that's why he left being a monk, because his
no,
hair was still
monks
growing.
Go bald monks a different bald. Way. Monks go bald a different way. They go bald just in the middle top, like a yarmulke. Mm. And
right, we can't see that.
And they make good beer. They make really good beer. They make great beer.
Oh wow, I didn't know they made beer.
So monks? Just, like, oh yeah, they make the best beer. Everybody knows that. Well, there's two types of monks. There's like European monks and there's
Tibetan. Oh, it's like some lit hot girl monks too? You telling me I could throw ass and be a monk?
I think those are nuns. I think those are nuns.
Oh. Hot girl monks are nuns? Wow. Wow, Aaron.
Hot girl monks are nuns. Everybody knows that.
You heard it. You heard it here first.
You didn't hear it here first. Everybody knows that.
He found his beginnings as a teenage monk, but that wasn't lit, right? So then he found a professional career as an imposter. I love that. His career is being other people. Amen. So that's kind of like
acting. How do you find a career as an imposter?
It's like being an actor.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
As a real quick. They give us a book of lies, and then we do them. So how Ferdinand's crime career began. Ferdinand Damara, known as Fred, we're going to call him Fred for the rest of the time because that's too much of my mouth. He was born in Lawrence, Massachusetts in 1921. Up until the Great Depression, his family was well off until his father became financially insolvent. Wow, that is the classiest way I've ever heard broke. If you are broke, you can start saying you're financially insolvent. Like, let's level up. Let's live
I am broke. I'm financially insolvent.
Like, hey, man, we split the bill. Okay, yeah, let's do that. But y'all bill me later because I'm financially insolvent. I think it works. Student loans? I am financially insolvent. Yeah. Like, I'm going to start saying this to people because that's a sexy way to say I have no money. Woo! Fancy. But also, you know, they was doing good and the Great Depression happened and then he got booted from making money, which happened to a lot of people at that time. So Fred's career began when he was just 16, like Eric, who was working at 15 in his summer jobs. So Fred wished to become a member of a silent order of Trappist monks away from his family's financials dire straits. So monks always are like, I know a little bit of their shtick is like, let's leave our shit behind because shit don't mean shit. So if you don't got shit anyway, you like, yeah, monks, let's go.
And they sing like this. They go, Hale, oh, holy.
I thought monks wore orange, but they in black and white over here.
No, you're thinking of Buddhist monks.
Oh, you're right. But they still don't have no hair. I think that's a part of it. It's like you can't really have no bussing hair.
You got to go bald. That's how you know you're born a monk. Alleluia de gloria. Good job.
So,
that shit came out in 1550 fucking six or whatever. That shit was bumping.
You are a musician.
You heard that shit in the fucking church.
Now I don't feel bad about that person being like, you, the musician, you are a musician. You are. So he lacked both qualifications. He wasn't the proper age, and he had no skills. So they were like, you can't monk over here, bro. You're too young, and you don't know how to monk good, so we're going to have to let you go. So he ran away from Lawrence, Massachusetts, and lied about his age to gain entry. He was eventually found by his parents, but they let him stay, figuring he'd get bored and give up the monk life. That's how you know you got bad vibes. Your parents looked for you because that's the right thing to do, and then when they found that you were safe, they were like, you know what? He can stay. Y'all like him? He can stay over there. He don't got to come back. That means you got bad vibes as a kid.
What is your relationship like with your parents?
It's very good. My parents are obsessed with me.
That's good.
So Fred didn't have the qualifications to be a monk, and he wasn't old enough. And so his parents found him, and they were like, well, you know, he'll get over this. We don't fuck with him anyway. We'll let him stay. So Fred stayed at the monastery for 2 more years, even earning his hood and habit before ultimately being forced out when he was 18 for lacking the proper temperament. I think you got to be pretty chill to be a monk. Like, they were like, we don't want to hear your 15 minutes on the food today or the visitors, I guess. I don't know. Do you think you have the temperament to be a monk, Eric? I'm going to say no.
Absolutely not. I'd be the biggest fucking bitch in the monastery. I'd be like, where's the LaCroix? It's hot.
It's hot.
Where's the fucking air conditioner?
Yeah, I don't
These
have
better be it. Paper straws. I'd be all woke about it. These better be paper straws. You just killed a turtle.
Man, fuck that turtle. I'm still mad at that turtle. Okay, that turtle fucked up the whole... Like, listen, there are so many other ways that we're wasting paper and that we're throwing clothes into minefields with, like, with companies like Shein and shit. And but one turtle means that I can't suck on a plastic straw. Y'all are geeking. Now I got a slob on a fucking limp straw. This is ridiculous.
Preach.
Cardboard all in my mouth. Painful.
Preach.
Straw done got to the drink before I did. Ridiculous.
Let him know.
So he tried Speak to join other orders, including the nearby Brothers of Charity Children's Home, but was again kicked out for failing to abide by monkly rules. In retaliation, he stole a car and money from the home and ran away. The monk had a car and money? Okay. In 1941, at the age of 19, Fred joined the army but found the rules even less appealing than the monk rules. He stole a friend's identity to flee the army and join the Navy. So while in the Navy, Fred received basic medical training but was not allowed to advance further due to his lack of education. His solution was to turn his skills to forgery and create the needed documents stating he had a college education. So listen, he was like, college can also be life. And I'm living it. So I love that he went from the monastery of the monks to what the army, which he thought would be easier. Then he was like, the Navy. That'll be sweet.
Who is this man?
Nobody knows because he always steals somebody's
How did you
identity.
Find out about this guy?
He's a serial entrepreneur. He's just got a lot of jobs. He has several employments and... Lots
you ever seen that
skills.
Jim Carrey movie, King of Con?
King of Con? No, what is that?
Oh, no, I mean, I Love You, Philip Morris.
Oh, yes, yes.
I love that movie.
He's very much serial entrepreneur, just like that.
Fucking
so in the process,
underrated.
He decided his documents were so impressive that he decided to try for a commission as an officer instead. So he made up these fake documents. There's no Google. There's no O's in these days. Like, he was printing them out good. He was like, these are cute. I'm going to go be an officer. Like, why am I even trying to be like a regular nigga in the Navy? I'm going to be chief nigga Navy. Okay, in 1942, he took the identity of Dr. Robert Linton French, a former Navy officer psychologist whose details he had found in an old college pamphlet. He successfully lived as Dr. French for 3 years, working as a college teacher until he was discovered by authorities in 1945 and prosecuted for desertion. No, in the military, the act of desertion means to illegally leave the armed forces. So when you join the armed forces, they'd be like...
So when you just bounce, you're like, peace, I'm out. Then they're like, yo, that was fucked up.
Like, wait a minute, where you going? No, we own you. Did we not? Oh my God, we did not tell you this was slavery. It is. Can you come back? Because otherwise, we'll put you in jail. Is that cool? How do you feel? That's literally what it is. They're like, the most marginalized of our country, you want free education and benefits for the rest of your life, impending you live.
Yeah.
Come to the military.
Yeah.
And they go to high meme, schools. Like,
do you got a 1.4 grade point average and you want a free grand slam at Denny's for the rest of your life? Join the military.
Do you want to get on the airplane early? Now listen, we're not going to get you good seats, okay? But you're going board first on Spirit. And that means that you get the best boxing gloves and the first seatbelt available.
Do you want to be completely abandoned by our healthcare system as soon as you get back from Iraq?
Join the military, okay? It's going to be cute. Trust us. Where's your high school right now? 18-year-old? 17-year-old? We can work that out. 16? We could fix it. Don't worry about it. A mess. So, a new identity. We're getting there. Jail time did little to turn Fred from his ways, and upon his release, he took on and created a new identity, Cecil Hammond. That's a good name for the time, Cecil. I think Cecil's very trustworthy. You know any Cecils, Eric?
Yeah, most of my friends are named Cecil. I'm from Florida.
I believe you. So,
all right, go ahead. Ferdinand. Sorry, I interrupted you, and I apologize.
No, I love you. I love it all. No, so he went to jail. He got out of jail. He got a new identity. Now he's Cecil Hammond. And so he was looking for a teaching position at the college in Maine, the Brothers of Christian Instruction, which sounds like a school I would never want to go to. The Brothers of Christian Instruction. I don't know what the brother's giving, and I don't want it. So... here, Fred met Dr. Joseph Seary, a Canadian doctor moving to the United States to set his own practice. Dr. Joseph needed help with immigration paperwork, so he gave all his official identification documents to Fred. Fred, a very trustworthy person, who offered to help him with his application. Fred then used the copies of his friend's documents to approach the Canadian Navy and threatened to join the Army if he wasn't made a naval officer. So now he's like, if y'all don't let me be, y'all can be all over here, I'm gonna be y'all can be over there. But... so afraid to lose the chain doctor, the Canadian Navy fast-tracked his application with little scrutiny. He was not a trained doctor, just to remember that, y'all. With that, Fred worked as a commissioned officer, Joseph Sire, at the Stadacona Naval Base in Quebec during the Korean War. While there, he convinced other doctors to contribute to a medical booklet he claimed to be producing for lumberjacks working in remote parts of Canada, getting others to build credibility for him. So now he's like, oh, y'all know I'm a doctor. Y'all give me some money. We making a little book for some other people. Okay, bet. So with the credit of writing a medical book, which he really did not do, and the bits of knowledge he gained in the U.S. Navy and crafty delegation of any medical task to his assistants. So basically, like, he will go into like a situation and they'd be like, oh my God, he's shot through the lung. And then he'd be like, he need heart surgery. He need lung surgery. He'd be like, yeah, he do. Scalpel. And then he would pass the scalpel to somebody else. We need 3 cc's of, you know what I'm talking about. And then they would go get it. He'd be like, y'all, get the gurney over here. Stat. Jaws of life. Y'all know where they at. Like, he was delegating all the medical tasks because he did not know how to do
who
that.
Who are you talking about?
So he became a fake-ass doctor and got into the Canadian Naval.
Who did? Who? Who did?
Fred.
You're still talking about him?
Yes, we almost done.
What did he do to you?
Huh?
You're obsessed with him.
I am obsessed with him.
You need to let it go. You guys dated 10 years ago.
But he's so hot. Did you see his hairline? He's sexy. You got a hairline like that in 1920? Like, bro, you got it. Okay? Pussy on. Okay? And like, he had the credit.
Snail trailing across the carpet.
So... in 1951, at this point, Fred is still operating as Dr. Sear. There's no Google, so he's just operating as a doctor. He's not a doctor, but he's doing very well. Not enough deaths for anybody to be suspicious. So, though he was the ship's doctor, he had his sick birth attendant handle all minor injuries. So he just farmed everything else out, like I was saying before. However, he finally found the limit to his ability to pose as a fake doctor when 3 Korean refugees came aboard, desperate, in need of advanced medical attention. With solely the aid of textbooks,
and his assistant, Fred, successfully treated all three men, completing an amputation of one of their legs.
Can you imagine if you need an emergency amputation and the person who's going to give it to you is like, yeah, hold on one second. You just see them keep turning to the corner and opening a book and being like, amputation chapter 4.
Oh, he was winging it?
He was winging it.
Yo, he reminds me of Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie.
Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like that movie?
Yes, I did. He's very much like that. But for me, I don't know. As a black woman, I don't really get best care in the medical system anyway. That's what I said earlier. I bring a Chanel back to the hospital when I have to get surgery and try to pretend I'm the most important black, which won't always work out because they damn near killed Beyonce and Serena Williams on their first childbirths. But
really?
Yes.
Beyonce almost died on her first childbirth?
I don't know. Yes. So I remember when I was on a schedule for morphine or fentanyl, which I was scared of. I was like, fentanyl, y'all trying to kill me for real? They were like, no, it's fine in the hospital, not on the street. I was like, okay, wait. And so my doctor was like, you have to stay ahead of the pain. And he put me on a schedule. But I was kind of like, I could thug it out. I'm strong. And he was like, please don't do that. So the nurse came in at 3 a.m. and she was like, well, how are you feeling physically? And I was like, well, I'm not in the pain yet, but I know it's coming. And she was like, well, then I'll come back when it's coming. And I was like, I was like, my doctor said I should get ahead of the pain. So whatever his prescription is of how I should take the medication, we should just continue to follow that. She was like, well, you don't seem to be in any pain. And I said, you know what? I put on my Olivia Pope hat. I pretended that I was Annalise Keating, and I know that's two different shows, and I don't give a fuck. And I was like, okay, cool. Would you mind writing down that you denied care for me? Or you know what? Actually, you don't even have to do that because you signed in, right? And you're on schedule, and you're assigned to my room, so I can just have my lawyers figure out where you are. And I'll let them know that you denied me care in a moment where I was absolutely assured that it would be handled by my doctor. And then since you're doing that, I know that there's a lot of systemic racism in medicine and that black women get poor treatment and that you want us to die. And I will also share this information with everyone possible. So
you said that?
What do you want to do? And she was like, oh my God, no, it wasn't racism at all. I'll go get you. She ran, like Speedy Gonzalez. It was like a trail of smoke when she ran out there and got me my medicine. But that's,
you said that?
I don't have no lawyers for that. I have entertainment lawyers. I don't have a Brian Longport or a fucking ambulance lawyer. I don't got a lawyer that's got a park bench. But listen, we all have to act like we have one, okay? Y'all go outside and look around at who the lawyers are in your town and then just start saying their name in the hospital. Or if you can't think of any, Longcard, Brian, and Sons. Three names, real fast. Jimmy, Tommy, and Asos. Pardon.
Why were you in the hospital?
Oh, I had fibroids removed.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can't think of no lawyer names, just real fast, three men. Maybe
just
one woman.
Combined Jewish name. Joshua Cohenberg.
And Sons.
One. David. Jacob Witz.
And Sons. Don't forget about the Sons. The Sons are going to beat your ass. The Sons are young. They have time. Yo, but wrapping this up. So he did complete these surgeries with the help of his test book. And then he actually was recommended for an award. And his photo was published in a newspaper captioned with name Dr. Joseph Sire. Remember, his name is Fred. So the true Sire's mother saw the photo of the man and saw that it wasn't her son and alerted authorities, who simply elected to deport Fred back to the U.S. to avoid scandal. But Fred's outing as the great imposter would go on to haunt him forever. Yeah, he got back to the States. He told his story to Life magazine. He sold it to them. I guess Life magazine was still popping back then. Now that his criminal identity was known, he no longer had the prestige of the previous positions that he had lied about. And in 1955, Fred was back at it and stole the identity of Ben W. Jones before disappearing again. He was always somebody else. I love that for him. He just switched his wig up. Make you feel like you're cheating. Yes.
Best believe.
Yes. So he was caught in 1957 and he served 6 months in prison. After release, Fred returned to entertainment, making several appearances on game shows like You Bet Your Life and a cameo in the horror film The Hypnotic Eyes. So then he got into entertainment where he should have been. He was just taking on roles. He was just acting like he was a doctor. He acted real good.
He was completely nuts, right?
Yeah. But listen, he did Tom Cruise level do your own stunts because they came in and they were like, we need our leg amputated. He said, open the amputation book and go to row A. And he did it. They alive. I'm not mad at it.
He did it properly?
I'm not mad at it at all.
I wasn't paying attention. Did he do it? Did he succeed at the amputation?
Yes. And then he got a medal for it. So, scammer of the week. With the rise of the AI technology has come the rise of its use in adult entertainment. A team of two computer science students have recently put the technology to the test when trying to determine if their AI-generated images of women were realistic enough for paying customers. So the pair created a fake Reddit account and named it Claudia. And so we're looking at Claudia right now. Does Claudia look real to you? Can you see her?
10 out of 10 with smash.
Yeah, she's hot.
And you know what? The next woman I kiss and marry, Claudia.
She's AI, so you're never going to get married.
Don't care. No.
You can't kiss her. Mannequin. Eric, you can't kiss
her. I'll build a mannequin. I'll wrap her robot parts around a mannequin and do it and borrow my friend's 3D printer. We'll figure it out.
I want to see the down bad version of Claudia that's been painted like with shit from Joanne's Fabrics.
No. She is going to be able to upkeep her shit.
I see like a FedEx printout of her face just stuck to a mannequin. I think that's the best that you're going to be able to come up with.
This is terrifying. So that's a completely computer built image?
Yeah. Not real. But look at her eyes. Don't she look like she's looking at you like, yeah.
Yeah, it's in my spank bank.
Oh, Claudia. Claudia's a baddie. So they upload a series of these, right?
Not my type.
And promised that Claudia had nudes to sell if you messaged her privately. The duo has claimed to receive several messages, including an invitation to dinner. I don't know how you're going to have dinner with AI Claudia, but they offering dinner. Other users chimed in demanding to see the model's hands. Duh, because AI is really bad with hands. And the virtual pimps were forced to admit their deception. Though AI technology has significantly progressed, most generation models still have difficult times producing certain images such as hands, horses, and the duo couldn't offer an image with properly formed hands. So if you want to know if it's AI, be like, let me see them hands or get on a horse. Those are our options right now. Just so you know, Eric, if you fall in love with someone on OnlyFans, you got to be like, let me see your hands and also get on a horse.
Get on a horse? That's a tall order.
Yeah, but it's like, if you real, you real. Is it a tall order for
no,
Eric Andre?
No, you don't say, let me see
I feel like
your
I
hands.
Would get on a horse you, for you. I'd find a horse.
You got to lift up the newspaper with the today's date. That's how you know.
Because I have pictures of me on horses right now that I could send to you. But you want today's date.
You can AI a horse.
To know that I'm not AI?
Pick up
AI?
Today's newspaper. Yes.
Okay.
And I've been catfished a lot.
I just feel like
the majority of dates I've been on in my life, catfishes.
That's wild because I would honestly think you would
50%.
Be the one.
I'd say 60%. The other 40%, AI.
I mean, I think AI is fucked. It's a part of the reason we're like on strike right now. But like, I don't know, man. Especially in sex work, I really kind of hate AI. I hate it in TV too, but in sex work, I hate it even more because I'm like, dudes, do you really want like some duo of weird dudes sending you messages pretending to be a woman? Like, isn't the whole point that you're talking to a
I don't
sexy
think that
woman?
I'm not worried about that shit. I'm not worried about that shit. This shit's never gonna
It's never gonna take happen over. To you or take over. I mean, I don't know about take over, but like there's a hell amount of people getting catfished today. Like flyover states, they don't be on Twitter like that. They don't be on Reddit like that. They do think that Bruno Mars is asking them for money while he's on tour so that he can fuck them in a hotel room. That's a real catfish story I've reported on.
I mean,
like they really think that.
What a tale to tell.
So it's like, I don't know how far this can go. I'm not a fan of this scam just because don't replace sex work. Sex work is work. It's not my work, but I know sex workers and I know how much work it is. And I don't think we need weirdo dudes stealing images, trying to get money for nudes online. That's weird.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, we are at the end of the show, Eric.
Sex work is real work.
Where I have to let you go. But anything you are it's allowed so to promote, you can promote
to
now.
Say goodbye. EricAndreTour.com.
Yeah.
EricAndreTour.com. I'm on tour right now. I'm touring your city right now.
All of this. Good lordy.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Congregation, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, D-V-A-L-A-C-I on all platforms. Scam Goddess Pod if you want to see all the photos. And if you want to see me on tour, I will be at the Bell House in New York City, 7:30. Get those tickets, baby. I'm saying it here first before I post it online because I love y'all. So New York City, I'm in a building. Son, get your Tim's out, son. We about to go to the bodega and get a fucking chopped cheese, bitch. Let's go.
I appreciate you. I wanted to say that. Aww, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, Eric. You're very fun.
Thank you for having
Congregation,
me.
Congregation, stay Andreing.
Arrivederci. Alvida Zane.
Scam Goddess.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. Our producer is Judith Cargbo. Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar. And our audio engineer is Sam Keeper. Research for the show is done by Caitlin Brandt. Stay scamming.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. My scalp was covered with psoriasis, which could lead to psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx treats both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 mg dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 mg dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX.
Cosentyx works for me.
Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.